Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Status Center, Congregation of the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is August the 19th, 2023, or it is the fourth day of Elul, 2027. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song. And stand up for Yahshua, the soldiers of the cross. Stand up for Yahshua, the soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer long. From victory on to victory, his army shall he lead. Every foe is vanquished, and Yahshua is king indeed. Stand up for Yahshua there. Trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict, and this is glorious day. Prevail, men, now serve him against unnumbered foes. With courage lies with danger, and strength to strength the foe. Stand up for Yahshua, and in his strength alone. The arm of faith will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watch him and be prepared. Where duty calls a danger, he never walked in there. Okay. The mighty Esau and the unpretentious Jacobs. Okay, this is June the 14th, 1947, Vichy Hotta. One time agreed, number 45. And we're going to now start our study. We are to study the 66th chapter of the Isaiah. In this chapter, yes, Yahshua speaks on the two groups of his servants. For the servants up unto the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, to the judgment for the living, for the purification of the church, a testimony by the fire, page 80, for the time in which they are found smiting their fellow servants, eating and drinking with the drunken. For the other servants are the servants thereafter that hear what Yahshua has to say unto his former servants as the time of the cleansing approaches. We shall begin the study with the first two verses of the chapter. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus saith the Yahshua, for the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Yahshua. But unto this man will I look, even unto him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word, by saying that the heavens is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, the Yashir actually says that he has not forsaken the earth, that though his throne is in the heaven, his feet are still on the earth, that he is still interested in his people. But the question, where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Sadly, so it says, sadly revealed that the work has been neglected, that neither a house nor a place of the rest has been prepared for him. For the next statement, further confirms this fact, for he reiterates that the things which he found were only those things which always were, and which his own hand, not the hand of his servants, have made. Then by saying, but unto this man will I look, even unto him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. He positively makes known that his unfaithful servants are discharged from his work, that others, poor and of a contrite spirit, who tremble at his word, have taken their place. That what the former servants have failed to do, the latter will do. At the same time, he charges the former servants that they feel rich in the spirit and in the need of nothing, more that they do not fear his word. Hence, the servants who are to build him a house and to make a place for his rest are to be men of a poor and a contrite spirit, men who tremble at his word, men who are not proud and boastful, and who are teachable and mindful of his word. Men who are penitent and see themselves in the need of everything instead of in the need of nothing. Finally, the Yashir angrily declares, Isaiah 66, 3 and 4, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he, of swine's blood, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yes, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Also will choose their delusion, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. No matter how good or how important the sacrifices may be, so long as we serve him in our own way, our gifts and sacrifices are an abomination unto him. Man's own ways must be abandoned, even though it be the hardest task to face if he is to make peace with the Yahweh. There is no question but then but that the Yahweh has now sent this warning message unto his unfaithful self an important servant. Though they do not and will not hear, having said what he wished to say unto them, he now turns to his newly hired servant. Isaiah 66:5-6. And who are these newly hired servants? These are the ones in Matthew 20:6. These are that fifth group of laborers that was called at the 11th hour. Matthew 20:6. At 2010, that's the house of David, tribe of Judah. That's the mighty Jacobs that he called. At the beginning of the judgment of the living. 2002, Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center. Brother Johnson was one of the head of the candlestick there, and he was discharged from his duty, and the duties is passed on to the servants of the 11th hour call, and that means that they were called to go to work in the 12th parabolic hour. I hear the word of the Yeshua, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yeshua be glorified, but he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of the noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Yeshua that rendereth recompense unto his enemies. Some have already had the experience of their being carried bodily out of the churches for no other reason than for having read the shepherd's rod, and for having said, I believe what it says. It is incredible that men should act like the demons. It is nevertheless so, and the Yeshua himself testified against their common practice. We do not pity ourselves, and we are not at all angry at the adversaries, but we are sorry about their spiritual blindness, misery, poverty, and nakedness, for we know that the coming joy is to be ours, and the sorrow and shame shall and gnashing of the teeth theirs. This we know, as early as Jacob knew that the Yahweh was with him in his flight from the face of Esau. The Esau's of today, though, do not know this. No, they do not know it any more than Esau of the old knew of the Jacob's night. Vision of the ladder that has extended from heaven unto Jacob's dew-soaked bed. And any part of the scriptures has become present truth. Isaiah 66:5 certainly is, consequently. The question is, if any part of the Bible scriptures has become present to you, consequently, from the city there is a noise, and there is a voice from the temple against us. But the voice of the Yeshua, the message of today, is what counts and what settles all things. Are you afraid of being cast out, or are you coming at the Yeshua's word, the Son? Now you have to make your choice against opposition if you expect to be in the kingdom's eternal. Isaiah 66:7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. For a woman to be delivered of a child before she travailed and become her pain tongue is an incredible thing, a miracle. And that is just what happened unto the church where when Yeshua was born in the manger of Bethlehem. The church knew not her visitation, and there she felt no need of a Savior, travailed not, yet she brought forth the child. But according unto the verse that followed, the church in this day shall experience even a greater miracle than did the church in the Yahshua's day. Isaiah 66:8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. For the church is now filled with the terrors, with the bad fish and with the goats. It is hard to find the saints. She is, nevertheless, all at once to bring a multitude of the converts which no man can number. For the denomination does not believe this. No. Let's do it again. For the Seventh-day Adventists, the denomination does not believe this. No, no more than the Jews believe that the Savior was born in the manger, nor any more than did the expert, the fishermen of Galilee, to take the places of the pious priests and as of the exalted religious leaders of that day, and no more than did they expect the Gentiles to shave or to share in the promises of the Israel. For the Seventh-day Adventist denomination of the day, too, thinks that tomorrow is to be as today, that Yeshua has left men forever to do as they please. She does not know that Yeshua is taking the reins in His own hand. Testimonies to Ministers, page 300. She still thinks that she is rich and increased with the goods and in need of the nothing more. For the church seeing, for the church will nevertheless see all the promises fulfilled. She will see that these scriptures are not in the Bible merely to fill a space. As soon as she thus travails and feels her need, just that soon will her course be filled with the saints and her work finished. Well, that applies to the 144,000. They will finish the work with Yahshua at the helm. Isaiah 66:19. Shall I bring unto the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Yahshua. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? My Yahweh. Would Yahshua have made these promises if he were not able to fulfill them? This is the great question before you. before me, and would be, for he starts something if he cannot perform and finish. You must not lightly pass over these questions, for your answers will decide your destiny. Isaiah 6:10-14. Rejoice you with the Yerushalayim, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Yeshua, behold, I will extend peace unto her like a river, and the glory of the Gentile like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be, ye shall be horses upon her side. Now let's do that again. For this saith the Yahshua, behold, I will extend peace unto her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, then shall ye shall be born upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knee, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Yerushalayim. And when you see the and when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Yeshua shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his assembly. Here we are told that only those who mourn for the Yerushalayim, those who pray for the establishment of his antipodal throne of the David and kingdom, are to rejoice with him. They and only they will profit from the abundance of her glory. None others will share her peace and her abundant glory. No, none others will be dandled upon her knees, for the sinners shall not be comforted in Yerushalayim, and their lukewarmness will become red hot, and that and put running, put them running unto the hills and unto the rocks of the mountains. Revelation 6:14-17. Isaiah 66:15-17. For behold, the Yeshua will come with the fire and with the chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with the fury, and his rebuke with the flames of the fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yeshua plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yeshua shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, in the midst eating swine's flesh and the abomination, and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Yeshua. After the Yeshua has done all he can do for the direction of the path of his servants, when there is no more remedy just then, divine retribution is to be meted out. Those who continue to wolf in their own way will then find themselves in the side path where there is no divine mercy, where the avenger of the justice takes his toll. There are those who sanctify and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree, behind the leader. That is, they pretend to be very religious in their generation or in their gathering places, trusting that the minister will lead them through to the kingdom. They indulge in the use of forbidden meats, and at the same time boastingly pretend pretend to be structured or sanctified and purified. To the Yeshua, however, they appear as white sepulchers full of the rotten potatoes, has their rotten flesh, okay, as the cups that are clean on the outside but filthy on the inside. Isaiah 66:18-19. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nation, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, unto Tubal and Avan, unto the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. What the Yeshua is about to do is not to be done in the secret. It is not an imaginary thing. Not something enshrouded in the mystery to be guessed at, but it is a plain and open act before all the nations. Now, to their own destruction, men argue that this is a spiritual slaughter. What is a spiritual slaughter? No one knows. Although it is plain to see that it is a judgment for the living, the fact that for over a century the denomination has been teaching that the judgment for the dead is separate the good from the bad, the tares from the wheat, their foolish arguments now prove that they are not only ignorant of it, but even so blind, Revelation 3:17, that even after that, after told and shown what it is they cannot see it, although they claim to know that the judgment is to separate the wheat from the tares, the good from the bad. Now it is to cleanse the sanctuary by the blotting out the names of the bad and the sins of the good. They do not admit that this strange act of Yahweh is nothing less than the judgment for the living in the house of Yahweh. 1 Peter 4:17. For the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, the purification of the church, Testimonies of Volume 580, the cleansing of the temple, Malachi 3:1-3, no longer try to console yourself that the daughter of the Yahshua is something imaginary or that takes place after the close of the probation. Now get ready. Lest you fall, let no man divide your attention from it. For the verse we just read explains that those who escape the Yahshua sword will be sent unto the Gentiles, unto those who have not heard of his fame or seen his glory, and they shall declare that his glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring into the house of the Yahweh all who will be saved. Here, let us read the Yahshua's exact words. Well, the messenger has to be saved first. You got to be born again first before you go save your brethren. Okay, it says Isaiah 66:20-21, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts unto my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Yahshua, as the children of the Israel bring an offering in a rich vessel unto the house of the Yahshua. Okay, it says, and I will also take them for priests and for Levites, saith Yahshua. Now, in view of the fact that those who escaped the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9, Yahshua are sent as a missionary, preachers and ministers unto all the nations and peoples who as yet know not the Yahweh and his gospel. There is but this conclusion, that the slaughter takes place only among Yahweh's people, that it is the slaughter, judgment for the living in the house of the Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17. For the shepherds are slain because they have kept the sheep away from the Yahshua's green pasture, present truth, that the faithful laity takes their place, that then the church, bright as the sun, fair as the moon, and terrible as an army with banners, it says, goes forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. This is the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45. The little stone hewn out of the mountain goes into a mountain, fills the whole earth. With the Pentecostal power, here in the 12th parabolic hour, called in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Thus is the gospel work finished, and the wicked world brought unto an end. Okay, so it's only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message, when it shall have swelled into the loud cry, the review and hurl, November 19, 1908. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers. And this is not the case. For the Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Yahweh has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. But the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace, for Yahweh will have a people pure, pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when the Yeshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor. Testimony by 5, page 80, Isaiah 66:22, where the new moon, or as the new heaven and the new moon, which I shall make. Let's read that again. For the new heavens and the new earth that I will make shall remain before me, says the Yahshua, and ye shall, so shall your seed and your name remain. In this verse, with this verse, inspiration now begins to disclose things which take place in the earth they do. Isaiah 6:23. And it shall come to pass that one new moon unto another, and from one Sabbath unto another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Yahshua. For the Sabbath, you see, is as eternal as the earth. It is to be kept not only now, but even after this sin, first earth is made new, and not only. And now are Yahweh's people to meet together in the house of the Yeshua each Sabbath, that they shall joyfully continue to do as so throughout eternity. Although the preceding verses of this chapter are not studied much by any, the last two have often been discussed and debated upon by many. To some, they mean that there is to be an eternal torment, but does the scripture at all sustain such a thought? No, it does not. For the definition of the carcasses is the lifeless body. And the prophet Malachi says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Yahshua of the host, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and go up as the calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, and the day that I shall do this, saith Yahshua of the host. Malachi 4:1-3. For the carcasses at first, and the ashes at last, of the unfaithful servant, being under the feet of the saints, can hardly indicate that the unfaithful are pushed into hell fire, there to live forever. Moreover, since only the righteous are given eternal life, then the wicked must be given eternal death. Furthermore, second death, Revelation 20:14, cannot mean the second life. For the theory of the eternal torment has been superficially derived from the statement, "Their worm shall not die." Their worm that gorges on their carcasses, though, cannot possibly mean the souls of the people. At least it cannot mean such to him who digs deep into the well of the salvation, and that can think and reason for himself. Such a one reads between the lines and notes the full value of each word. If a worm means anything, then it means that the worm thrives on the carcasses. That it is anything. That it is the agency which reduces the constituents of the carcasses unto their original element. Indeed, the worm shall not die. It shall certainly accomplish this consuming work, for the carcasses shall be bring down to dust. For dust thou art, says the scripture, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis 3:19. It is this disintegrating agency, the consuming worm, that does not die. Moreover, we are told that the soul that sinneth it shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. It is plainly seen that the preaching of the eternal suffering is hell far rather than eternal death. It is prompted by the unscrupulous so-called soul winners, endeavoring to drive their audiences into the church by the fright. But if they knew that only the born again through the love of the truth are given the right to enter into the holy city, if they knew that those who must be frightened and are excluded from it, if they knew that anything which maketh a lie is also not given the right to enter therein, if they wholeheartedly knew all these, they would perhaps stop preaching eternal life and hell fire and begin to preach eternal love of the truth. Let us now close our study by reading the Yeshua's final plea. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your master doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my master delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, Yeshua of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24:42-51. Here is but one right choice for you to make, and that is to cease keeping company with the mighty Esau, and to join the unpretentious, truth-laden Jacobs. This brings into our study this hour, context, this is the limit of our call, and after we're going to click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Pearly White City. the holy entity, the city, whose builder and ruler is Thou. And saw it descending from heaven, and that person excel he trod. This high massive wall is of jasper, the city is sapphire to her gold. And when my fair cat hair is folded, on our shall its glory behold. In that bright city, heavenly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing. Oh, the white city, and so coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling on me. No pain and no sickness can enter, no crape on the doorknob is seen. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten, no tempter is there to ignore. No parting words ever are spoken, there's nothing to hurt and destroy. In that bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city, down so coming down. No heartaches are known in that city, no tears ever moistened the heart. There's no disappointment in heaven, no envy or strife in the sky. The saints all sanctified holy, they live in sweet harmony there. My heart is nested on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. In that bright city, holy white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting, and longing for the white city, comes all coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder, my friends too are passing away. And soon I'll join the bright number, and fill in eternity's day. We're safe now in glory with Yahshua. The trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter, every set fair city at last. In that bright city, pretty white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city that's all coming down.